Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Wrestling Uncensored tonight on the show. We're recapping everything on SmackDown. The Usos getting banned from ringside in Roman's match at the Royal Rumble. And we're watching a live episode of AEW Rampage. Jon Moxley and Ethan Page in the ring right now. Let's get Johnny North into this. Let's get this show started. Yes, indeed. There he is. Big Johnny.
What's up?
Not much, man. Just watched SmackDown. Saw the main event of Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens get a win over the Usos in the main event. I thought it was match of the night. We can get the show started off right away. Let's kick into full gear. Not AEW full gear, but you know. You understand what I mean. Seth and Kevin getting the win. I thought it was match of the night. I thought it was the best match that we saw on SmackDown tonight. Not a terrible episode of SmackDown. A couple decent matches. Viking Raiders and Los Lotharios had a couple nice moves.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, we're thanking Rob, actually. Thank you to Rob Clues for re-upping the membership. Don't forget to become a member if you're not already. Doug Hepburn. In the chat is a member. Yes, I did get the figures, Doug. Your search can end. I found them today. Very happy. I found the toys I was looking for, Johnny. I don't know if you see this on the desk next to me.
I see.
Got them figs, Johnny. It's the Hitman.
That's right. It's Bret the Hitman Hart Brother Survivor Series Edition. All right.
Got me the Bret, and I got me the Hogan. With the Winged Eagle title belt as an accessory that comes with it, which I like a lot. And his eyes are really bugging out in this figure like he's on something. It's pretty good. Pretty nice Hogan, pretty nice Bret. They don't make a lot of Hogans and Bret these days, but when new ones pop out, you can bet Big Daddy Dave is going to purchase him some of the new figs, if I can find them. And I did find them. Quite happy to find them today, Johnny. This is a today purchase, so big day.
Good, yeah, it was a big day for you.
Yeah, it was a big day. I got my third shot of the Rona, anti-Rona shots, you know. Got my third one, and it's like, this is the only one I felt. Like, I'm feeling this one. I'm feeling a little run down already. I'm like, I don't feel great after the shot, to be real. This one was a Moderna. My first two were Pfizer's. This one was a Moderna, and I feel like it's a heavier dose or something. I don't know.
Well, there's some sort of report saying that that's more effective, apparently, so.
Okay. Well.
So it's good for you.
I guess it's good for me. Long term, it'll be fine. It's my immune system showing that it's working or whatever, but I'm like, I feel a little run down after the shot, to be honest. I'll be all right. Do you agree, Seth and Kevin versus the Usos main event match of the night? Roman Reigns shows up at the end, hits a Superman punch on Seth, causes the disqualification, causes the finish of the match. Seth and Kevin win by DQ over the Usos, but the Usos were beat. Roman knew it. Seth was setting up for the curb stomp. He hit the curb stomp. It was elementary after that. 1-2-3, middle of the ring. It was going to happen. Roman didn't want to see it. It's not like Roman made an error in causing the disqualification here. I thought it made sense that Roman interfered when he did, even though Roman interfering did cause the loss for the Usos, which means that the Usos are now banned from ringside for the Seth Rollins-Roman Reigns Universal title match at the Royal Rumble. But I thought that the finish made sense. I thought that the match was solid. Match of the night for me, Johnny? What do you think?
Well, I think it's just match of the night by default. I mean, what else was there really? I mean, everything maybe was just okay at best. I felt tonight was just rematch city. So, yeah, main event was the best because it was the only match that we haven't seen before. And it was the only match that really got a significant amount of time. Everything else felt really short. Did anything else go over 5 minutes?
I don't think so. Everything was quite short. Charlotte Naomi was even short. Like, they didn't give them much time either. Maybe with entrances.
Probably still dead for that.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, Sonya Deville was the referee and you knew what was going to happen. And it's not about Charlotte. It's about Sonya and Naomi, which is a dead angle. No one cares, right? It's like, it's hard to...
Well, we're getting the payoff next week.
You think? I mean, we're supposed to get the payoff for this, what, 2 months ago? They booked Sonya and Naomi like a couple months ago, and then Sonya shows up and has some sort of swerve, you know, and it was like Sonya and Shayna versus Naomi or something, right?
Right.
Where's Shayna anyways? Whatever happened to her? But besides that, I don't know if we actually get the payoff next week. They did book Sonya versus Naomi for SmackDown next week, but I'm not certain that they actually do it. I don't believe the WWE when they book matches for SmackDown. If this was booked for the pay-per-view, I'd be like, oh yeah, they're going to do it there. But SmackDown, you know, plans change. Plans change all the time.
Yep. But I feel like they got out of the match already before. So I think they're actually going to give it to us now. But again, this might not be the end. I mean, it's just a match. Something might happen off this and they'll just expand the storyline till they finally have like a blow-off match.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right, but like, do you want to see them drag this thing on even further? Like, right? It's like,
yeah,
kinda...
When do they not drag everything out further?
Yeah, I know.
What is not a rematch? Everything is a rematch almost. That's why the main event was good. It was a rare match and was, you know, the top guys wrestling each other. They haven't wrestled each other in that kind of format before, so that was nice.
Yeah. Top, tippy top guys, right? Like, Kevin, Seth, Usos, those are four of the best guys in the whole company. So for them to be in the main event of the show, it's like, yeah, it's good. I like that.
I was kind of pissed a bit, you know, like, oh, I had to bring in Raw guys to beef up SmackDown. But I'm like, yeah, they actually have to, actually, because there's really nobody else. Like, otherwise you get matches you've already seen before. And it just feels repetitive. They had to bring in guys from Raw just to make it interesting.
And why not? You know, why not?
It made it better, so yeah, I'm not complaining about that.
It made it so much better, because what do you have on SmackDown? The Seth and Kevin and Usos and Roman stuff tonight was the only stuff really worth watching.
Well, I like the cameo from Bischoff. That was nice.
Yeah. I like the cameo from Summer Rae. Oh, it's Bryan Danielson, John. Wait a second. Stop everything. Bryan Danielson sighting on AEW. John Moxley just beat Ethan Page with a bulldog choke, made him tap out, and then hit his double arm DDT finisher after the match just for good measure. And Moxley leaves through the crowd, and Bryan Danielson is standing there in the kind of exit, kind of looking at Moxley, and they have a little stare down, and Moxley walks away. So it looks like we know what Bryan's doing next. Just had to alert you to a Bryan Danielson sighting, because we haven't seen him on AEW in like 2 weeks since he lost to Hangman. And I missed him. So Moxley gets his first match back on AEW TV, wins tonight in the opener of Rampage, just got the win over Ethan Page. I heard Cornette going bananas about Moxley not having his first match back in AEW and all of this. People are really attacking Moxley for his return. Bubba Ray said that Moxley should have apologized to the fans for his absence in his promo on Wednesday. Thinks he should apologize for being in rehab? Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I kind of get what Bubba was saying. Like, you know, apologize to the fans who bought tickets to want to see Moxley. But I don't know. I don't know if the promo needed that. And Cornette was like, oh, Tony Khan is such an idiot. How come he's... Moxley's not having his first match back in AEW. It's going to be at that GCW thing because he's doing a Game Changer Wrestling thing this weekend. But, you know.
Right, we knew about
that. But Cornette recorded his podcast or whatever before the AEW booked Moxley in his actual return match, which was tonight on Rampage. So I thought it was just funny. Like,
mentioned.
Cornette was like shitting on Tony Khan and Moxley really hard for Moxley not having his first match back in AEW, but he did have his first match back in AEW. So anyways, people are just attacking John Moxley these days, and I thought that was my job, but apparently not.
Well, it's criticism that we actually brought up last week before we knew that he was going to be on Dynamite. Like, we kind of said it, where it's like he should appear on AEW at least for Game Changer Wrestling for sure.
Yeah.
We figured as much that would happen.
Yeah,
but
we knew.
But it wasn't confirmed yet. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but did you hear a part of that tirade that he went on? It was pretty crazy. He was, like, so angry. Anyways. Doug says he got the Moderna vax too, and he felt it for a day or two, and it's common. Okay. Ryan Katz said he got the third dose at 7 p.m. So far, so good. All right. People getting their third doses left and right these days. Third dose central over here. Johnny's already got it. Everybody's getting dosed up. Maybe, you know, now that we're all triple vaxxed, we can, you know, open up the world a little bit more, especially where we live in the province of Quebec. Maybe now that we're all triple vax, like, how many shots do I have to take before I could go to a full arena? How many shots, John? How many shots? That's my question. I don't mind. Well, I'll do whatever they say. Yeah. You know, it's fine, but just, like, come on already. How long? I'm tired of this.
Well, they're saying for us it looks like mid-February.
Oh, jeez. So the WWE show March 6th might actually happen, you're saying? In Laval, Quebec, that I have tickets for? That got moved from December 30th? Pushed from December 30th to March 6th. And when they did that, I said, March 6th seems a little early. And I'm still skeptical, but I'm hoping that they do the show. Because I got tickets. I'd like to go. The Tribal Chief is going to be there, John. It's a SmackDown show now.
Oh, they changed it.
Yeah. Big Tribal. Usos cut an in-ring promo to start off SmackDown tonight, talking about Roman Reigns being the Universal Champion for 518 consecutive days. And again, you know, when they keep pushing how long a guy's been champion, they're setting him up to lose that belt. Roman's losing at the Rumble. I'm pretty convinced of it. Maybe I'm crazy. It's possible. But I'm pretty convinced that Roman's losing at the Rumble.
Well, we've mentioned this before, like, this wasn't the original plan. So when plans get changed up like this, really anything can happen. But as long as we get to Roman versus Brock, that was the plan. Just how we get there now, that's been kind of changed. So it's not impossible. It's not the route I think it's going to go down. But again, like, we have the same ending no matter what.
Roman and Brock at WrestleMania for a belt.
Correct.
Either Roman's champion walking in or Brock's champion walking in. I think Brock will be champion walking into Mania, not Roman. Plus, it's better because this way Roman's winning either way. I think we could agree that Roman's beating Brock either way at Mania, right?
Well, wait and see. Is this like, because it could still be a champion versus champion match. They haven't thrown that out the window. They've mentioned it. And honestly, that's the most ideal situation. It's not what I'm thinking is going to happen, but
yeah,
that's what I hope happens, to be honest.
Okay, but even if it's champion versus champion, you think Brock would win that?
That's tough to say. Probably not.
Probably not, right? Probably not.
Probably not.
So I'm saying if it's not champion versus champion, right, and there is one champion going into the show, wouldn't it be better if, like, Roman was the challenger so that we could have a title change at Mania? It's more fun with a title change than just a title defense at a Mania. I think it makes more sense for Roman to go in, take on Brock for the WWE title in the main event, beat him for the belt, and then he's WWE champion. That's where I would go.
You're already going to have, like, a bunch of title changes. Like, it's WrestleMania. Like, there's so many title matches, like, it's hard not to have title changes, right? And, like, I don't know about you, but Becky's been champion since SummerSlam, right? Like, I just feel WrestleMania is the time to finally take it off her.
Okay. Night one, main event.
So that's it. Yeah, I don't know.
Night two, main event, do another title change.
But they did last year where night one, they had the title change and the show. Night two, they did not.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they'll do the same thing this year, right? You
that was
know.
Kind of funny last year. If I remember correctly, like, mostly faces won night one, and night two mainly heels won. It's kind of weird.
Roman gets in the ring for the promo, right? The Usos are there. They introduce him. Roman comes out. He puts his hand out for the microphone. Jimmy has two microphones in his hand. He's supposed to hand one to Roman, but he's, like, mugging for the crowd, and Roman kind of gives him a look like, microphone? Was that on purpose, or was that an accident? Like, was Jimmy...
That was on purpose.
That was on purpose, right? Like, what are they trying to tell us there? That Jimmy is, like, a bad henchman? That Roman... When he had Paul Heyman, he would always hand him the microphone on time. Like, what was that? That was a little thing. They were saying something there, but I'm not sure what.
Well, there was always a rift with Jimmy and Roman. Like, Jimmy was the most hesitant to join the Bloodline, and I feel like they're trying to bring that back again kind of thing. And I feel like maybe they're insinuating, like, that's probably going to be the crack in the Bloodline eventually.
Hmm. Who took the stomp? Was it and Jimmy was the one that accepted the match, right? Tonight?
I'm not 100. I don't remember exactly who accepted. It's possible.
But even if it's Jay, like, whatever, I don't really remember either. But I thought it was Jimmy. But either way,
it makes more sense.
Roman could, you know, start pushing the Usos away because, you know, they accepted this match tonight. And now they're barred from ringside for the match with Seth. The deck is being stacked against Roman Reigns for a Royal Rumble, right? I mean, the fact that the Usos are banned from ringside now, Kevin Owens isn't banned from ringside. Roman talks a little bit. Jimmy introduces a video package to highlight Roman's run as the Universal Champion. They show wins over Braun Strowman, Kevin Owens, Bryan Danielson, a few guys that aren't in the company, right? Braun, Bryan, Cena, a few others, Big E, Brock,
all losing,
of course.
Though.
Yeah, all losing to Roman, of course. I mean, that was the package, right? Roman's run on top and all his title defenses. And then Seth Freakin comes out, Seth Freakin Rollins, does a promo
terrible.
On the stage. What? What's terrible? Seth Freakin?
I don't know about you, but every time they announce, like, especially when the ring announcer announces the name, I'm just like, that's the dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like just calling him Seth Freakin. I think that's a funny name. Nick Jackson and Trent Barretta are wrestling right now on AEW TV. It was supposed to be the Bucks versus Trent and Rocky Romero, but Rocky's got COVID. So it's just Nick Jackson, solo Nick, versus Trent on Rampage.
Yeah, did Matt not come out with him, too?
Matt Jackson's there, yeah. Matt and Brandon are there, ringside with Nick.
Okay.
But I don't know if anybody came out with Trent. Like, the best friends kind of stood on
Orange
the stage.
Cassidy.
Is Orange there, too? Oh, yeah, there's Orange. But how come Nick Jackson's got two goons and Trent only has one? Like, why didn't Chuck come, too? Chuck Taylor's
That's
too busy?
That's what I thought. Like, did he only have Cutler? But whatever.
No, he's got Cutler and his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't expect any of this to make sense, John. It's a Rampage match. It's crazy. Who knows? Seth comes out. Seth Freakin did a whole promo on the stage, talked about how the Usos are the cornerstones of the Bloodline, and Seth has Roman has the Usos to do his dirty work, and... You know, the Usos are the real backup, just like Seth and Mox were for Roman in the Shield. Seth dropping a Mox. He said Mox on WWE TV, and I said, who's Mox? I think you mean Dean Ambrose. I thought that was an interesting... I mean, we all know who he's talking about and all that, but I thought it was interesting that Seth would say Mox on SmackDown tonight. I like it.
I was impressed. It's just to get people talking because, wow, he just said a name.
Yeah, but he said a name of a guy who's wrestling on the show, you know, right after him on AEW. Said a name of a guy who's one of the top stars in the competition. I mean, it's, you know, it's something. It's not nothing, John. It's not nothing. It's not, like, earth-shattering, but it was cool. Doug said it was
cool.
Doug liked it. I liked it.
People overreact to it, to me. It's not that big of a deal. I see it blew up everywhere. Like, oh, he said it. Can you believe it? And then people start, oh, he's going to be in the Rumble. It's too much. Like, it's just a name drop. That's all it is to get people talking, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's nothing major.
No, I think it's just, a cute line in a promo to make it more interesting, which, you know, I thought it was interesting. I liked Seth's promo. I like Roman saying, "Oh, Seth, you're saying all the same things that everybody else does. Did John Cena write that promo for you?" I thought it was good. I like that. And then Seth set up the match saying, you know, how about we take on the Usos, and I have a tag team partner, and if we win, the Usos are banned from ringside. How about you prove that it's going to be a one-on-one match, Roman, that you don't need your backup, the Usos. So we'll beat them tonight, and then they'll be banned from ringside at the Rumble. And then Kevin Owens comes out as Seth Rollins' tag team partner. Kevin and Seth both doing their thing on Raw, now over on SmackDown. And Roman says, okay, well, how about this? If the Usos win, then I don't have to wrestle you at the Rumble at all. You lose your title match, and I get to take a vacation until WrestleMania, which Seth kind of thinks about and then accepts. However, given the story, why wouldn't Roman be ringside for this match and not watch it from his little, you know, hideout in the arena? Why wouldn't he watch it from ringside and try to distract the ref, interfere, help the Usos, I don't know, win? You know, like, he only came out at the end, which I was fine with, but now I'm thinking about it. It's like, well, shouldn't Roman, I guess it's not in Roman's nature to help the Usos because he helps no one and he expects the Usos to do his bidding and they should win the match on their own because that's what they're there for. And if they can't do that, when Roman will just get rid of them, right? But also, like, maybe if Roman really wants the night off against Seth at the Rumble, shouldn't he have, like, tried to interfere a little bit? No? That would make sense. That's what wrestlers usually do when they want their friends to win, and they also have a numbers advantage over the enemy combatants. You know, like, Seth and Kevin are just two guys. They're by themselves. They're on Raw, so they have no SmackDown friends, you know? And then Roman, he could be in the corner of the Usos and do something. It would have made sense, but I guess it's beneath Roman to help anyone but himself. But it would have been helping himself to help the Usos. So, yeah, little bit of a logical flaw there.
Well, the Usos also put themselves in that situation. So they had to get themselves out of it in a sense.
Yeah, but it affects Roman, right?
Right.
Roman didn't
set it up, so
yeah. I guess Roman is just so confident that he's like, look, I'd like a vacation at the Rumble, but if I have to face Seth one-on-one, no big deal, because I could beat him, and he's just confident, right? He's confident. He's right. Not a cowardly champion, so yeah. Derek John didn't like the stipulation. Didn't.
It was a little long-winded, the way they kept explaining all the time.
Yeah. I liked the opening promo, though. I thought they started the show off well. They had their main people out. They had Kevin Owens show up, you know, unexpectedly, right? A little bit of a surprise. I mean, he's on Raw every week, but it's like, well, he's never on SmackDown. So that was cool, right?
Well, it presented a main event that was unique. It was pretty good, so no problems with that.
That's it. Solid. Solid opening promo to set up a solid main event on SmackDown tonight. Derek John says he doubts champion versus champion at Mania. Who does the winner of the Rumble face? Well, that is a good point. Again, you know, if we do have champion versus champion at WrestleMania, the winner of the Royal Rumble does, you know, get to face a champion. So how does that really work? Honestly, after watching the show tonight, I think Kevin Owens is a pretty good candidate to win the Royal Rumble and face Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania. If not Kevin, who?
Well, I've told you what I think. For me, it actually works both ways. Like, even if Brock loses or Brock wins the Rumble, so it solves everything, but then you don't really get champion versus champion in a sense, because, like, it's only Roman's title on the line. But still, I'm going with Brock, because, like, I don't think they're going to do champion versus champion. I want them to, but they won't.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still staying with Brock. And like Kevin Owens, I'd love to see him win the Rumble. I just feel like it's not even close to that position. Like it looks like they're trying to set him up with him and Damian Priest, looks like.
He's got this angle with Seth going, though. He's helping Seth step of the way. Seth has no friends. He needed a tag team partner tonight.
Right.
You know? I could see it happening. And I don't see, like, your scenario, I don't see playing out, right? Like, what do you think is going to happen at the Rumble? You think Brock is going to lose the title to Bobby Lashley and then win the Rumble and then challenge Roman Reigns, and then they'll find somebody else to face Bobby at Mania? Like a...
Well, they have the Elimination Chamber, right, at the next pay-per-view, so...
Yeah. So what are you saying?
You either have Bobby defending the Elimination Chamber, or you have whoever wins the Elimination Chamber faces Bobby.
Okay. And that's how you see it playing out. You see Brock losing at the Rumble to Bobby, and then Roman defending against Brock after Brock wins the Rumble. I see it going a different way. I think Seth beats Roman, ends his title reign. Brock beats Bobby, defends the title against Bobby, and Roman finds his way into a match with Brock Lesnar because, you know, he's got the beef with Brock. And Brock could taunt him and say, hey, look, you lost your championship. Looks like you're not going to be in the main event of WrestleMania. And, you know, Roman Reigns, he thinks he's the star of the show. He thinks he's the tribal chief and the top guy in the company. So he would expect to main event WrestleMania. And that could be his, you know, his desire and his goal is to main event WrestleMania because that is his rightful place at the top of the card. So I think that's how it plays out. I think Seth wins the title from Roman, goes on to face the winner of the Rumble, who I think could be Kevin Owens, should be Kevin Owens. Maybe Big E, but I don't know. Like, I am more in favor of pushing your, like, guys, you know, pushing the guys strong that, you know, are going to be around long term. Having Brock in a title match, lose the title match, join the Rumble, win the Rumble. It's like, it's a lot for Brock. It's a lot of focus on Brock that I get him and Roman is kind of the main story, but I think the fans would be a little disappointed with that outcome, you know, just the over pushing of Brock. I think that the fans would go home a little happier if somebody else won the Royal Rumble, like an actual everyday wrestler. You know, I think Kevin Owens, Big E would be a real nice story. It could be a number of guys. It could be a number of guys that could win the Rumble, but Brock Lesnar, I just don't see it happening. But that is what Johnny North thinks, and we'll see at the Rumble. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm so interested in WWE TV these days, is because the Rumble is coming up next week, and it's going to be big news either way. No matter what happens, no matter what goes down, it's going to be pretty big. And John, you know, I'm usually very disappointed by the Rumble outcome. So my scenario is what I would like to see most. But usually what I like to see most at the Rumble doesn't happen at all. And the opposite happens. So you're probably right, right? Like, how many years in a row now have I been like, they got to do this at the Rumble, and this is what they should do. And then after the Rumble, I'm like, what are they doing? You know, I get all mad. That happens like every year, right?
I don't feel like you got mad last year. Like, maybe it wasn't what you thought was going to happen, but I don't think you were mad with any of the results. Like,
no.
I think you're okay with Bianca winning.
I thought it was premature. I thought it was premature push of Bianca, and look, a year later, where is she? Edge.
Well,
also, Edge, like,
screw that.
I don't know. Edge couldn't carry it on his own. They needed to put in Bryan Danielson to make that a desirable main event for WrestleMania. And where's Edge a year later? Wrestling The Miz and his wife. So, I don't know. I wasn't, like, super thrilled with the results. I thought it should have gone to other people. And I think a year later, I'm correct. Maybe Bianca was the right move. Bianca's all right, but yeah. I think Edge winning the Rumble last year was a bad move. You don't give it to part-time guys. The Rumble is a perfect opportunity to elevate somebody on your roster. Give them a Rumble victory. Edge is a WWE Hall of Famer. Did he need to win the Royal Rumble to be elevated? Did it make him a bigger star to win a Royal Rumble? Not at all. Not even close.
Well, I think it's just because he doesn't wrestle that much, so they needed to kind of push him really fast.
Yeah. But isn't it better when they use it to push somebody kind of up the card? To make somebody?
I mean, they've tried that, and that's also not worked. They tried with Nakamura, and that didn't work out.
Del Rio, Sheamus, even.
Well, with Sheamus, like he had his moments anyways. He's had more than enough moments when you think about it. He's been WWE champion quite a few times.
Mm-hmm. But the Rumble win when we were growing up used to make you. Like, you win the Rumble, you're made.
Yeah.
Right? I miss that. I miss guys getting made off a Rumble win. Like, when Brett won the Rumble, it almost made him. I guess he didn't, like, fully win because the thing with Luger and everything, right? But that whole angle kind of made him more than his title win over Flair. Because Brett's first title win, you know, he was kind of not the strongest champion. He lost it to Yoko at 9. And then the next year he comes around, you know, he wins the Rumble kind of with Lex Luger, but it kind of makes him and catapults him to this next level, and he winds up in the main event of WrestleMania 10. He wins the championship again, and then Bret Hart is Bret Hart. Steve Austin, when he won the Rumble, like, he was kind of a made man at that point. It makes guys. It used to, anyways, when Shawn Michaels, you know, beat the British Bulldog, tossed him over the rope. Like, he was made at that point when Shawn won the Rumble, you know?
I feel it was the following year, to be honest. Like, because that year when he beat Bulldog, like, he didn't win at WrestleMania.
Yeah. But it kind of elevated him to a main event role where you go, oh, he's a main eventer. Like, at that point, he was kind of intercontinental title level. But when you win the Rumble, it's like, oh, you got to take this guy seriously as a world title challenger, you know? That doesn't happen anymore.
Well, I think the problem is, like, in terms of them building guys, like, it just comes out of absolute nowhere.
Yeah.
And the problem is these guys can't get over because the push, like, isn't justified.
I think Drew McIntyre was elevated, though, with his Rumble win. You know, now that I think about it, I was against it, but I, you know, he was elevated to a certain level, like into a main eventer from a mid-carder to a main eventer, and he's managed to kind of stay in the main event-ish, you know? But
kind of,
he's not that over. You know, that's the problem.
I mean, he kind of it's probably the best example you're going to get, to be honest, so.
Yeah, in recent history. But, Drew McIntyre. Yeah. They kind of made him off the Rumble. Kind of.
But that was when he was the most over, I think, because he was still a heel, but people wanted him to turn, and pretty much the Rumble was his turn in a sense. So that's what kind of helped him right there. If they could have someone like that, but they don't really have anybody like that.
Sheamus, again, they could give him the Rumble. Like, he's so good.
Yeah, but you saw what there was talk about Sheamus, like, oh, he's never been Intercontinental Champion before. So clearly that's his path. Kevin Owens, he beat the U.S. Champion. Clearly that's his path.
It might be. Nick Jackson beat Trent, by the way, as if there was any doubt. Right?
Trent always loses in his comeback. Well,
he always loses, Trent. Well, here comes Tyler. Here comes Tyler Taz. Little hook. He's going to do something. His hair is looking wild. He looks angry. He's chewing gum. Uh-oh. Some job guy's about to lose to Taz's son on AEW Rampage. And I'm sure...
To Pensacola, right?
To the delight of hundreds on the internet. right?
Well, I imagine the people there are actually going to like it.
Possibly thousands of fans. I don't know. Yeah.
Crowd's quite lively. I'm sure they're going to enjoy this.
People love Hook. Hook is over. You can't argue with being over. The guy is over. People seem to like him. I'm just not sure he's really over or ironically over. I don't know. Like, check back in 6 months and see if he's this over. I'm not sure. I hope he is. Well, be good for AEW.
Wait and see.
You know? They got another star in their hands. It's good. Homegrown talent, but I don't know. We'll see. Works like Brock Lesnar, looks like Dominic Mysterio. It's kind of weird, but hey, what are you going to do? Is Dominic bigger than him?
Oh.
That's the match we need to see.
I mean,
Dominic Mysterio
height,
versus Hook Taz. Hook Taz.
I don't know about weight, though.
Hook Taz is like, you know, he works like his dad. Dominic tries to work like his dad. They're both trying to kind of be their dads. Different versions.
Yeah,
newer
like,
versions. Not as good in any
Dominic's
way.
Bad like version of his dad.
Yeah, Dominic is a shitty Ray, and Hook is a shitty Taz.
Well, he does a better job emulating his dad, to be honest. Like,
does he?
Dominic does.
I don't know. Taz
Dominic?
Was pretty convincing as a badass.
Yeah, but at least at least with Hook. Hook's very smooth with his moves, though. At least Dominic, that's where he's really lacking, to be honest.
Yeah, Hook's probably a slightly better wrestler. But I don't know.
Like, I wish Dominic was better, but
Dominic's
just
had more ring time, though. I don't know. Dominic's just had more time in the ring to be exposed. Hook's matches last like 60 seconds. He just beat this Serpentico guy. It's over. He choked him out with a Taz mission. He hit a couple suplexes, and he choked him out with a Taz mission. His moves are all right, but I don't know. It's just a strange thing going on with Hook.
Well, a lot of it is just this whole, like, his presentation.
Yeah. He seems cool. I like the Action Bronson theme song. I just, like, I'm not, like, fully buying into it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think Hook is a badass to people that, you know, how do I put this? Aren't very badass themselves, you know? Like, if you're kind of a, if you're kind of a wimp, you see Hook and you go, man. But if you're, you know, a grown man, you see Hook and you're like, yeah, all right. Seems all right. Seems like a good kid. You know, I don't know. I've been around too many, like, legit people. You know, like, Hook's presentation is kind of like a, oh, I could fight for real type of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I've, you know, been around that, the real fighting, for too long to kind of buy into it. You know what I mean? It's like, well, all right.
Well, again, though, his execution is quite good. Like, the way he hits the suplexes, like, it's pretty smooth. Like, you know, Taz taught him well, at least.
Yeah, no. The throws are nice. Like, he's not bad. It's just that, would you believe him doing that to Lance Archer? Or even Hangman, or even, you know, like, it's just, okay, he's, like, kind of small to be doing that. And on Serpentico, like, sure, Serpentico weighs, like, 130 pounds.
Well, what happened here? Like, QT Marshall came out?
Yeah, I don't know. He started saying things to Hook. I tuned out. I don't know.
Okay.
When QT Marshall comes out, you think I'm paying attention?
Jake well, it's Cargill. Weird what they're doing with him. Like, he's
Cargill's
feuding with
wrestle.
Like.
Sorry, what?
But Hook's feuding with the Nightmare Factory, and like, you know, I thought he was a heel, but I kind of treat him more like a face, even though he's in Team Taz.
Yeah, I don't understand. Why is he in Team Taz, the heel group, if he's like one of the biggest baby faces in the company? How does that work? Hook
Taz. Kind of weird. It's kind of like how when The Rock was still a face, but he's still in the Nation. It was.
Yeah.
You could tell eventually, like, they're just going to split away, I guess. Or probably best idea is just make Team Taz faces, I guess.
You got to believe that the end goal for Hook should be a match with Ricky Starks to take the FTW title and just do that. No, I mean, shouldn't he be FTW champion? It's his dad's belt, basically.
It would make sense, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's at that level yet to have, like, competitive matches.
Well, if he's not, what the hell are we watching him for? Like, I don't...
Well, slow build here.
Can he take a bump? Have we seen him bump, really?
He's taken strikes, I think. That was butted against the bear guy.
Yeah, I haven't seen much. The bear guy. You call them what I call them. The bear guy. There's one bear guy bear guy one, bear guy
two. Yeah, there's
two
bear guys.
The bear guys.
They're both called bear.
Are they really?
But it's bear something, like, I forget. Is it Bear Bronson, I think?
I think it's Bruno Bear and Bastion Bear.
You can go with that too, I guess.
Poo Bear and Piss Bear, I think that's what they call them. Antoinette has been a member for 13 months. Thank you, Antoinette. Member of the team. Derek John says, didn't Trent win? Did Trent win?
Oh, you're going to tell me I didn't see the finish.
I don't know, man. I'm doing this show at the same time as I'm watching. I thought Nick Jackson won. Whoops. Derek might be right. You guys are watching this show. It's hard for me to see all the results. I'm checking. Oh, yeah, Trent won. He beat Nick Jackson.
Well, it's for the better, like, because he hasn't won again, like I said. Like, it's good he finally gets a win back.
Well, it makes sense for him to beat Nick Jackson, because Nick Jackson's a tag team guy, and Trent should win some matches once in a while. Why not? Oh, thanks, Derek.
You got to wonder if
I am
Rocky
clearly not paying enough attention to that match. Jade Cargill's in the ring now. You know I'm paying attention. This will be a short one. There's only about 10 minutes left in Rampage. Here's Jade about to defend her TBS title for the first time against Anna Jay. Antoinette says, I think Seth will win. Yeah, should be. Well, it'll be an elaborate squash, John. It's going to take a little while. It's going to be, you know, about 9 minutes, 8 or 9 minutes. Antoinette says, I think Seth will win as well, and I'm okay with that. I'm still happy with Roman on to the next Brock. Yeah. Antoinette, big-time Roman Reigns fan. Even she believes that the Tribal Chief is going down at the Rumble. Thank you, Antoinette.
Well, again, like, it's very interesting, this whole situation. There's many ways it can go. But I still believe in Roman. I think he's going to win. I think they're finally going to give him a win over Seth. He hasn't got that win yet, so it's time.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be Seth's time. Oh, what a shoulder tackle from Jade Cargill on Anna Jay. Anna went flying across the ring on that shoulder tackle. That's the best shoulder tackle I've ever seen. Jade Cargill. Take that, John Cena. Best shoulder tackle I've ever seen. Oh, fall-away slam from Jade Cargill with the kip up. Good God Almighty, what an athlete. Ah! Jade Cargill!
What's the finish for this one?
No, I'm too focused on this match. We'll talk about SmackDown in a minute. Oh, Anna Jay tries to roll her up for a two. Cargill says no. Clothesline. Get out of the ring, Anna Jay. She rolls out. She's beat up. She can't take it. Can't take Jade Cargill. People comparing her to Goldberg.
Surprising.
Unstoppable. She's going to go on an undefeated streak that'll last forever. Oh.
Well, if not mistaken, Goldberg got two titles.
Cargill versus Hungy face-to-face outside the ring. They're doing a flex-off. Oh, Johnny Hungy, of course, in Anna Jay's corner. Hungy ducked way too early for Anna Jay's clothesline. He was ducking for like a full 3 seconds before Anna Jay showed up with that clothesline. Whoops.
Was it his fault or hers, though?
I don't know. I couldn't see. I didn't see Anna Jay. All I saw was Johnny Hungy duck right in front. He's like standing in front of Jade Cargill, and then he ducks, and Jade just stands there for a couple of seconds, and then Anna Jay shows up with a clothesline because she wasn't in the camera shot. She came out of nowhere. It was weird.
It sounds like she may have forgotten her spot, I think.
Whoops. Whoops. Speaking of forgetful, Madcap Moss was on SmackDown tonight with Happy Corbin. And then Kofi Kingston showed up, and Big E came out with him. Big E, former WWE champion, Kofi's also a former WWE champion, but you wouldn't know it by the way they're presented on TV. Big E from Raw shows up with Kofi to be Kofi's backup because I guess Xavier Woods is hurt and they wanted to give Kofi some backup. So Big E is there just to be backup. Kofi and Madcap have a match. It's Kofi with the win, finally. I mean, last week he lost. Kofi didn't quite hit the Trouble in Paradise there. Kind of kicked him with a leg lariat in the face for the finish. What'd you make of that finish?
Yeah. Well, I think the timing was just off because I think he was running off the ropes, if I'm not mistaken, right? So
yeah.
Just didn't time it right. Oh, well.
Madcap. Madcap wearing those shorts tonight. No shirt. Suspenders. Looking ridiculous. Super jacked, but his outfit makes him look like an idiot. Corbin, and I mean his promos too, don't help his case. Don't really care for the Madcap Moss character. I don't think anyone does. Does he have fans? You gotta wonder. Does Corbin have fans?
Probably.
Yeah, there's gotta be some people, right? There's marks for everybody. Corbin looked like he was going to attack Kofi after the match, but Big E got into the ring, and Corbin decided to bail. Big E then grabbed Moss and hit his big ending on him while Corbin just watched from outside the ring. And next week, it'll be Big E and Kofi versus Corbin and Moss on SmackDown. Aren't you hyped for that? Big E and Kofi versus Corbin and Moss. I mean, wow. Wow. This is what Big E is doing post-WWE Championship. Whoops.
Yeah, it's not great. There's no question about it. However, to me, that's the best New Day combination. I don't know about you, but Kofi and Big E, usually when they're the team, like I find that's the best tag team I find. Like Xavier and Big E's okay, and so is Kofi and Xavier, but I find Kofi and Big E is the best variation.
Yeah, I mean, I like Xavier Woods too. I think Kofi and Big E are a great team. I mean, they're the only two that are former WWE champions, so they got that going for them. However, the fact that Big E is just like back in the tag team, back as the New Day again, it's kind of like, oh, this is what's happening now? This is what they're doing? They're back to this with Big E? It's a little disappointing. It's a little disappointing that this is what he's doing, but hey, I mean, I don't dislike it. I like the New Day, but I thought maybe they'd make Big E into a star, but turns out they're just going to put him back in the tag team.
Well, I'm sure he's going to be in the Elimination Chamber, though. So it's not like he's going to be completely out of the title picture.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. I'm not convinced of anything with Big E going forward. So we'll see.
Wow.
Well, I mean, come on. He was WWE champion. He took like a million losses as champion. Lost the belt for no particular reason. And now he's teaming with Kofi again on SmackDown because Woods is hurt and they need somebody. He's just filling space. He's doing nothing on Raw. I don't even think he's on the show. He wasn't on the show this week.
It's rough.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't believe that WWE has any actual plans for Big E, which is disappointing. But he made a nice guest appearance on SmackDown, which made the show more interesting because he's a talent and he wasn't supposed to be there, so that's nice. Speaking of not supposed to be there, Summer Rae in the crowd to watch Natty versus Aaliyah. Summer Rae looking great there in the crowd, sitting there. I like seeing Summer Rae there hyping the Royal Rumble. Summer's going to return for that match. Aaliyah winds up beating Natty by disqualification when Natty wouldn't stop stomping her in the corner and the referee counted to five and Natty wouldn't stop, so she got disqualified.
Terrible.
Terrible finish. Like, I hate that finish. It's the worst finish in wrestling. WWE seems to do it once a month. It's awful.
Maybe every 2 weeks, to be honest.
Right? If you count NXT and main event, it probably happens more often than that, even.
Probably, yeah. Well, Charlotte did it right to Toni Storm. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at least once a month, right? At least. And it happened again tonight. At least Natty didn't lose in 3 seconds tonight like she did last week. She lost by disqualification to Aaliyah, and Aaliyah didn't throw up after the match, so that's a plus. Xia Li came out, so Natty starts beating Aaliyah more after the match, and then Xia Li or Xia Li, whatever her name is.
Xia Li.
She shows up. Where's she been? She's been off SmackDown for weeks, right? She made her debut. They had all these promos for her. This weird cartoon that they had, and then she debuted, and then she disappeared for a few weeks. Now she's back. Maybe she had COVID. Who knows? But she comes out.
That's awful.
Yeah, I mean, who knows, right? And it's not like anybody would have been like, hey, where's Xia Li? Because no one really knows she's on SmackDown at this point.
She hasn't wrestled yet.
Yeah. So she's supposed to make the save for Aaliyah, but she does this super elaborate entrance with like... Like, all this, like, electricity stuff, like, graphics and weird shit going on. She takes her sweet time getting to the ring to make the save for Aaliyah. And Natty has plenty of time to watch Xia Li do this entrance and then leave the ring before Xia Li can attack her at all. Huh. Was her intention to, like, help Aaliyah? And if it was, like, wouldn't she kind of hurry her ass up? Just when she comes out to make the save, and she does this entrance that takes like a full minute, minute and a half. What is she doing?
Trying to scare her? I'm not sure exactly. Like intimidation in some form?
They got to stop.
Some sort of like power-up dance, possibly?
I didn't like it.
I didn't like it either. Like you, like if someone's giving a beatdown, you should actually hurry your butt up there. But
yeah, you should run. But that didn't
you know
happen.
They're big on doing the whole like, well, this is your entrance. This is what you do on your entrance, so you have to do it. And you know she doesn't really do anything else. So
you're going to save somebody, but before you go and save somebody, do all this shit before. Like,
well, I made
like,
this
what
complete
the hell is that? Mini- you got to do like a mini dance before you come out and help somebody that's getting brutally attacked in the ring? Like, what the fuck is this? What is this?
I've made the complaint many times about how Bianca Belair, like, supposed to come out and do a serious promo or something. And she does the whole, like, playing with her hair, like, all smiles, laughing, and all that. And then suddenly all changes because the entrance is over. Right? Because she has to get that entrance in exactly how it's done.
Every time, it's the exact like, same, up. Like a video game.
And yeah, that's it. 2K22 right there.
Stupid. So stupid. Jade Cargill beat Anna Jay, by the way, in the main event of Rampage. Defends the TBS title. Pins her in the middle of the ring. Obviously. 25-0. They showed a big graphic there at the end of the show for Jade Cargill. 25-0. She's the best. Gotta love Jade Cargill. Imagine Jade Cargill versus Charlotte Flair. Good God Almighty. That's a WrestleMania main event, pal. Jade Cargill is money.
Well, it's interesting. They're making this into a streak kind of thing now.
Yeah.
Kind of like in the sense like, well, The Undertaker, right? Like they put that on the screen when the Taker had a streak, so.
Yeah, but this is a win streak. This isn't a, you know, event win streak. This is a straight-up win streak. It's more Goldberg-ish. They should start adding
well,
wins
Goldberg,
to Jade.
Well, Goldberg, they never posted it.
No.
Yeah, the Goldberg thing was they fake things. Like, that wasn't as good, to be honest.
That was great. One week you'd be 58-0, and then the next week you'd be 106-0, and you'd be like, how did he get all those wins in a week? What was he doing since last night?
I was like, man, there's so many house shows, and it's like, wait a minute, like, there's not that many house shows.
It's impossible. It's impossible. Viking Raiders beat Los Lotharios with a pinfall after a nice little double team slam. Eric impressed me in that one. He had one of the Lotharios in a slam position, and then Ivar put the other Lothario up in powerbomb position. And he slammed and powerbombed both Lotharios at the same time. It was pretty cool.
Right, even.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Rest of the match was like, whatever. Viking Raiders won.
Well, it was fine.
Yeah, it was all right. I like the Raiders. I'm a fan. I think they're very good wrestlers. And aren't they the number one contenders for the tag team titles, too, against the Usos?
They are.
Mm. Is that at the Rumble? Possibly? Pre-show?
As of right now, it is not. I mean, it could be added to the kickoff, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, it is not officially booked for the Rumble. Charlotte Flair comes out in a beautiful black robe. Her and her dad, they've got that style for wrestling robes. Like, they really, they wear them well, and they have these, like, awesome costumes made up. Like, she just looks so cool when she comes out. Every time, she looks like a superstar. Let's just talk about the robe for a moment, John. What'd you think? Wasn't that not a magnificent robe she had on tonight? Reminded me of her father's butterfly robe, the black and the white details on it, the silvery white. You know what I'm talking about? The butterfly robe?
Yeah, yeah. It's probably a tribute. I wouldn't be surprised. But, you know, she has that professional look that puts her above everyone else.
Yep.
Like, Naomi looks very average compared to her.
She looks regular.
Yep.
The costume is so important. And spending, like, big bucks on your costume, you know, which I'm sure she's doing just like her dad did. It works for her. It makes her money. You spend money to make money, and that's what Charlotte is doing. She looked like $1 million again tonight. Sonya Deville shows up, and she decides she's going to be the referee for the Charlotte-Naomi match. But she took the referee shirt from Little Nate. Charles Robinson was the referee for that one, and I thought, I mean, he's going to call it for Charlotte anyways, right? So you didn't really need to do that, Sonya. I'm kidding, of course, but, you know. Because Charles Robinson...
Didn't Sonya pay off referees anyways before?
Did she? Yeah. I don't know. But just the fact that she was replacing Charles Robinson in a Charlotte Flair match to kind of side on Charlotte's side, I was like, well, he's probably going to do it too because he's the world's biggest Ric Flair fan. And, you know, they call him Little Nate, and he had a whole gimmick with Ric Flair. Like, for sure, he loves Ric Flair. He's going to call the match for his daughter. Brother. Anyways, I just thought maybe choose a different ref to do that, because for Little Nate to be the one replaced, it's kind of like, wait a second. He loves the Flares. We all know this. I saw that WWE Hidden Treasures thing where they go to Charles Robinson's house and they buy a robe off of him and he's crying because he loves Nate so much. That guy loves Ric Flair.
You know, it's crazy, like, how he was the ref for Rick and now ref for Charlotte. Like,
amazing. He must
amazing
love that.
His longevity.
He must love that. I would tell you one time I was at a Survivor Series, and Little Nate was the ref, and Big Show and Undertaker, I think, was a... It might have been a casket match or a street fight or something. Survivor Series... I'll tell you exactly.
It was a casket or buried alive.
I don't think it was buried alive. I don't think I've ever seen one of those. Taker, Big Show, casket. And they're wrestling on the stage, and Little Nate is the ref, right? So.
Or wasn't he just there because it's a casket match? I mean, they don't really need a ref in a
well,
sense.
Whatever.
Just referees.
They always have a ref, though. I think it was just one. I think he was the only ref because he was, like, following them on the stage as they were wrestling, right?
Okay.
So I'm, like, near the stage in my seat, and I'm like, oh, it's Little Nate. And then me and our buddy there that was with me, we start chanting Little Nate at Little Nate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of like, hey, yeah, Little Nate, you know? Kind of gives us the, like, hey, thumbs up. And then we do it a little bit more, and then he kind of looks over at us like, no, you got to stop that. Because, you know...
It's pay-per-view.
Well, it's pay-per-view too, but I could imagine if Undertaker heard somebody chanting for the referee while he's having a casket match, he would not have been happy, and maybe Little Nate was scared that he would stop getting those Taker matches. So we stopped cheering for Little Nate, even though he is one of my favorite all-time refs. That's my Little Nate story. That's all I got for you, John. Pretty bad story, right? It's not my best.
It was in Boston, if I'm not mistaken.
It was in Boston. Batista slapped my hand and it felt like a boulder had hit me. I've never felt anything like that in my life. He's the strongest man.
He seems like a strong guy.
He's the strongest man I've ever encountered. Dave Bautista is scary. I was like, oh my God, what the hell was that? Like, you know, you're standing by the thing and the wrestler just kind of slaps your hand. He slapped my hand and the force of it and the power, I was like, jeez, what the hell is that? It was like, it was scary and weird and like just, I've never felt anything like that in my life. Just like there was so much weight behind it. I was like, what the hell was that? Is he a human? I don't know if he's a human. He might be like a boulder that got chiseled into the shape of a man. That's what it felt like.
Well, he's smaller now, so it might not be so bad if he did it now to you.
Yeah, it would probably not be as impressive. Doug Hepburn dropping a super chat. He says, thanks again, guys. Owen for life, Johnny. Nice Owen Hart t-shirt Johnny North is wearing. Thank you, Doug. Super chatting tonight, supporting the Ringside Report Network, as you do. And yes, I was at Roadblock. Oh, and Doug and his son were there, too. It was in Toronto, and it was a special event on the WWE Network. I saw Dean Ambrose wrestle Triple H. I think that was the main event of Roadblock, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, I think the main thing that pushed you for that, didn't Brock wrestle on that show?
Yes, Brock Lesnar was on the show. He wrestled Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper in a 2-on-1 match. And I remember, I think Brock worked the house show the night, or did he work the house show in Montreal the night before? Or maybe he didn't. Maybe
I think so.
He did, right? I remember this show, like, because I went to the house show in Montreal the night before Roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Roadblock, and it was the same show. It was the same, except Jericho was on Roadblock but wasn't on the house show for some reason. He couldn't make it or he had something else, but he was on Roadblock. Or he might not even have been wrestling full-time for WWE at that point. He wrestled Jack Swagger at Roadblock, and that was like a big deal because I was like, wow, this is the only thing that I didn't see last night. It was the exact same show. It was like I saw two house shows that were the same. And the main event, Triple H and Dean Ambrose. But, you know, I just remember Triple H was so jacked. And I just couldn't believe it. I had really good seats, too. It's a small arena, that place. Whatever that place was called. The something.
It wasn't where the Leafs play, that's for sure. I think it was a little outside of Toronto, right? Or something?
No, it's in Toronto. It's called the Rico Coliseum. And it seats about, like, it's a 10,000-seat arena. Like, it's not a big thing. So it was small, and I had good seats, and Triple H was, like, right there, and he was huge. Just chiseled. Looked amazing. Peak. I mean, this is 2016. It's not that long ago. He was jacked to the gills at this point. Looked amazing.
Yeah, but things have happened since then. He's lost a lot.
I know. I feel for him. I feel for him at this point. Like, this guy thought he was going to run the WWE. And we all thought that too, right? Like,
I shed no tears.
I know, but I don't know if we've ever talked about this, John. Like, Triple H, it seemed like at one point was going to take over from Vince. It was his game.
Him and Stephanie, yes.
Right. And now, not. Looks like Nick Khan is running the show, and they're going to sell it to somebody, and some business people are going to take over, and Triple H is getting squeezed out. NXT 2.0 is taking over, like, you know? I don't know. It seemed like at one point Triple H had this in the bag. He was taking over his company. He was going to be the new Vince one day. However, that did not happen.
I mean, maybe he won't be in control of, like, a lot of WWE, but Stephanie seems to still be, like, the face of WWE. So I think, yeah. So I think there's still a good chance she still might get control of the company one day. And if she gets it, I mean, in the sense, Triple H does too, so.
Don't think so. It doesn't look like it now, though, right? Like, if you were to bet who takes over after Vince, I don't think you'd bet on Triple H or Stephanie.
No, more than likely, he's just going to sell the company.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it could still happen.
Like, if I gave you a bet, you know, Triple H and Stephanie versus The Fiend, which is, you know, anybody else, you'd take anybody else. That would be your bet. Anybody but Triple H and Stephanie. I mean, not anybody, but, you know, somebody other than, you know?
Right.
Not me, obviously, although that would be pretty cool, brother. I'll tell you, wrestling would get pretty crazy. But, you know, it doesn't seem like they're going to take over. And if I would have asked you 3-4 years ago, it would have been a totally different answer. He had it, and it slipped out of his fingers.
Well, did he do it to himself? The whole NXT thing, like, he had a good idea, but I think he overdid it.
I don't think so. I think he just stopped being able to pick up the talents that he needed to fill the brand. People stopped wanting to go there because eventually, honestly, this is what happened, John, the way I see it. He signed a bunch of these stars from outside the Fed, you know.
ROH guys mainly, but yeah.
Right, but Japan guys too, Finn and Shinsuke and AJ was in Japan, right? Like, they got brought over. AJ got
right.
treated well.
AJ
well.
Was everywhere.
Finn, you know, Shinsuke, yeah. A lot of these guys, and a lot of these guys from NXT, you know, Pac, Sami Zayn, a lot of these guys that were brought into NXT and kind of appeared to be the future and the next wave of the company, it didn't quite pan out. I mean, a lot of guys got brought up to NXT and just completely ruined by Vince and the main roster, right? A lot of them.
A chunk, yeah. A chunk did. A chunk made it.
Yeah. Like, some of the Triple H guys made it, some of them didn't. But I think a lot of the people that would have signed with NXT to fill out a newer roster didn't sign with NXT because they saw how a lot of people were treated. They saw how the WWE was, and AEW became a thing and a viable option to go to. Like, if AEW doesn't exist, if Tony Khan doesn't want to do pro wrestling, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, they're probably in NXT, and it's probably the black and gold brand still, and they're doing, you know, big business there. And if not Kenny and the Bucks, you know, maybe they'd be on the main roster, but, you know, maybe not, right? And a number of talents would be in NXT right now. Like, imagine if AEW didn't exist. They could have MJF and NXT. They could have all sorts of guys. Hangman might be the NXT champion. Who knows, right? But I think that with AEW, it kind of put the squeeze on the WWE and their ability to sign talents. And then it made NXT kind of like, well, if it's not the super indie company, what is it? And it lost an identity. And then it was just like, well, we can't keep doing Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Johnny Gargano, and Tommaso Ciampa forever. And they never signed guys to replace those guys. They never signed, like, the next wave of indie stars to replace those guys that they had signed. They never moved those guys up. Most of those guys are in AEW at this point. Right? But they never kind of, like, NXT had this thing where they would have, like, this class of legit indie stars that would graduate to the main roster, but then there'd be this new crop of indie stars to take over NXT and keep it, like, interesting, where the takeovers were such a hot, you know, product at one point, right? Takeovers were big, right? They sold out arenas. It was a big deal, takeover. The takeovers were selling out faster than the actual WWE pay-per-views most of the time when it was one of those takeover weekends where it's like takeover on Saturday, pay-per-view on Sunday. Takeover was bigger because WWE was able to fill the gap. they moved people up, but then they brought in new people. But then when AEW showed up, it's like, well, some of these indie stars don't want to go to WWE. And I don't know if that's Triple H's fault or Vince McMahon's fault for the way that he treated a lot of these indie stars when they showed up to the main roster. Triple H treated them like superstars in NXT, signed them to WWE contracts, had faith in them. Vince didn't seem to. And then AEW shows up. They do the Wednesday Night Wars. They lose that. Vince blames Triple H for it, even though it's like a B-level kind of developmental, half-developmental company going up against a brand-new company that's running their A show against your C show. It's not really NXT's fault that they lost to Dynamite. Raw lost to Dynamite in some key demos this week. So, is it Triple H's fault or is it Vince's fault? I'm not saying Triple H is the answer to the WWE. I'm just saying I think he's taking the blame for some shit that's probably not his fault. And I feel a little bad for him because I could just imagine thinking that I was going to take over the WWE and then some shit happens and I get blamed and then the future is questionable. I just feel for him on that point. And his health is not great. I don't know. It sucks for old Paul. I hope Paul Levesque is all right. That's all.
Well, I really think despite AEW, there was still talent out there he could have signed. Could have made it interesting.
Who? That wasn't picked up by AEW or all these companies? I don't know. I don't know. There was no more hot talent that he could have picked up. There was no hot free agent.
You could still poach from ROH. It's always a possibility. Something they've done in the past, could have done again.
Dude, come on, man. ROH disbanded. Okay? Put it this way, John. ROH, at this point, any wrestling company around the world could poach from ROH because they're not a real company. Nobody's under contract, right?
Okay, but there's still a lot of good talent there.
Who's been picked up? Nobody.
Jay Lethal got picked up.
Yeah, okay. One guy. AEW won't even pick up the Briscoes.
PCO went to Impact. Actually, a bunch of people went to Impact.
Does that count? They need to fill their roster. Come on. Does that count? It doesn't count. AEW and WWE showed no interest in anybody from Ring of Honor outside of Jay Lethal signing with AEW just because, he's a good hand and why not? But I don't know. You say they could have picked up all these guys from Ring of Honor. They could do it right now and they're not because why? There's not that much to pick from. They ran out of talent. Ring of Honor ran out of talent because the new crop of Ring of Honor guys was the Bucks and Hangman and, Cody. And they all jumped ship to AEW and started their own thing, which I think fucked over NXT long term. And now apparently this NXT 2.0 thing, WWE's not happy with it. So who knows before they scrap that and just go in a completely different direction. The WrestleVotes Twitter account reported that WWE is not happy and they're not sure what to do here. NXT 2.0 is not doing well. People are not tuning in. They are not liking it. Did they keep Walter's name Gunther or is he back to Walter now?
Well, I think he still has it as his Twitter name, so I don't think they've changed it back yet.
He's Gunther, you're saying?
On Twitter, yeah, he's still that.
Doug Hepburn says, did I just read the Iconics posed in black lingerie? Ringside always comes through with important news. Yeah, there is a wrestling news ticker that's going. That's not our news. We're not posting the news. That's a feed that we get. And it does post hey, sexy wrestling ladies, look at this. And I'm like, what is this? How is this news? Anyways, I guess it is. I mean, people, it'll get clicks, I suppose. The Iconics posing in sexy photos. That's fun. Good for them. Big news, John. Breaking news. Did you hear? Billy Kay and Peyton Royce posed in their underwears. Oh, my God. Stop the presses. Derek John says Rock C might be at the Rumble. Who's that?
She was the ROH Women's Champion.
All right. I'll just let that sit there for what it is. I mean, I know a lot about pro wrestling, John. I've never heard of Roxy in my life. So maybe I'm ignorant to who's in Ring of Honor, but I feel like I got a pretty good grasp of pro wrestling. And if I haven't heard of you, you're probably not that relevant. I mean, no disrespect to Roxy. I'm sure she's fantastic as a wrestler. You don't become Ring of Honor Women's Champion for nothing. But, you know, she's not a needle mover like Roman Reigns, right?
Well, considering WWE's not looking to sign, like, wrestlers anymore, the fact that they gave her a tryout and there's a possibility she might be going WWE, I think that's a pretty big thing.
Ah, they gave her a tryout.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good for her.
And they usually give it to athletes now. So the fact that they gave a wrestler a tryout, that's gigantic.
Yeah, well, they need some wrestlers too. I mean, they can't just go full athlete, but I get what you're saying. Is she good? Do you like her? I don't know.
I mean, she's only like 20, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, for being new to wrestling, she's pretty good. Like, again, potential there.
Ring of Honor.
It's a lot like.
They made a 20-year-old their champion? How good can she be at 20?
Well, you know, I think Dante's like 20, is he not? Or 21?
Yeah. Is he a champion?
No, but he's on TV every week. It's still pretty good. It's better than being champion.
He shouldn't be. The fact that he got promo time this week on Dynamite, not Rampage even. It was a Dynamite promo with Dante Martin and his sidekicks. He has sidekicks now. And it's Matt Sydal and Lee Moriarty. And Lee Moriarty spoke on Dynamite this week.
Well,
I'm still amazed that that happened on Dynamite this week. That should never happen. Why does Dante Martin have sidekicks? He is a sidekick. Where's Leo Rush? Ugh.
Like, we can complain about Dynamite, and yeah, it wasn't the best Dynamite this week, but
it's so bad.
It beat Raw in the ratings, so
I don't understand.
So you might see more of what we saw this week, sadly.
Jeez. Well, Sting, next week, Sting is going to beat 6 guys by himself. Sting's going to run the gauntlet against everybody.
More than likely, Sting's not wrestling next week.
No,
I don't
John.
Think Sting's wrestling back-to-back.
He's going to take the title from Hangman. It's the Sting show now. If he can beat the Acclaimed by himself, I mean, he could definitely take on Hangman. Why not? It's the Stinger, John. It's the Stinger. I know you believe in the power.
I love in the promo after the show where you like, it was pretty good when I beat both of them up by myself. That was pretty great that he said that.
What upsets me so much about that is that I really like the Acclaimed, you know? I like them so much, and I think that AEW should push them and treat them with respect, and then they get beat up by a 62-year-old man who's twice their age. Twice their age. Like, they're young guys. Max Caster every week comes up with a creative, entertaining promo in rap form. His partner, Anthony Bowens, you know, is a gay black man. And I think that he is a great example to a lot of young, gay, black kids and men to say, hey, look, you could be a pro wrestler. You could do whatever you want. Like, there aren't very many openly gay wrestlers in pro wrestling as a whole.
Super chat.
I think he's got a unique story. He's an excellent wrestler. He's the type of guy AEW should be pushing. You want to talk about diversity? You want to talk about talent? Him and his partner, Max Caster, are an excellent combination in AEW. Young tag team that look professional, that have a A-level presentation. Obviously, they're not at the top of the game. They are not. I think they're still learning, and they still have a ways to go, but I think that when you compare them to a lot of the acts in AEW, they're far more evolved. I mean, they treat Dante Martin with way more respect than they treat the Acclaimed, and Dante Martin can do some cool flips and all, but I don't think his wrestling is as convincing as Anthony Bowen's wrestling, and his promos are nowhere near what Max Caster presents, so what really disappointed me was that Sting, super old Sting, is beating up these two guys that AEW should really be doing a lot with. They should be doing way more with these guys than they are, and I think it's a big mistake that the Acclaimed right now aren't being kind of elevated up the card and treated with some respect so that they could win some matches. They should be pushed a little bit stronger. They should be treated with a little bit more respect. I'm a big fan of Bowens and Caster. Sorry, go ahead.
This is nothing but good for them. Like, don't worry about it. Like, you can take losses as a heel and come back. Like, they're just starting here. So they can take this loss and they can bounce back. They're still one of the top-rated teams in AEW. Like, I'm sure they want to push them even further. They just want them to have more experience first and to be more polished in the ring. And you can see it. They're getting better every time. So it's just a matter of time.
Well, I hope so. But just getting beat up by Sting 2-on-1 for as long as they did not do them any favors. And, you know, they could have looked strong, beat up Sting the whole time. And then, you know, Darby makes a save and, sure, they still lose, but the fact that they took so much of a beating from Sting, who's clearly very old and doesn't move that well, it's rough. It's rough. Harold Schneider dropping a super chat. He says, keep it up. Thank you, Harold, for the $5 super chat. You are the leader. Anthony Plessia wants to know how he becomes a member. You go to join.ringsidereport.net. You can go to join.ringsidereport.net right now. And if you are a member, you'll be able to call into the show after the Royal Rumble. Members only get to call in after the Rumble and voice their thoughts here on the post-Rumble show. We'll be taking calls. And if you want to become a member, you go to join.ringsidereport.net. Or if you're watching on a desktop, you can just, or a laptop, you know, click the join button beneath me here on the video. And you join. Become a member. Just like Derek John is a member, Antoinette is a member, Doug Hepburn is a member, and Anthony, we would welcome you to become a member, and maybe you could even call in as well. Support the Ringside Report Network. Keep us going, just like Harold Schneider, also a member, dropping the super chat leader of the night right now. Sami Zayn was on SmackDown tonight. There to prove he can do anything that Johnny Knoxville can do. He's got a bunch of weapons. He has a stun gun of sorts. He shocks himself in the leg, then in the chest, and sold it like it really hurt. And then Johnny Knoxville comes out and says the stun gun isn't on. And then he turns it on and jabs Sammy with it. And electricity sound effects go off in the arena, which is just horrible. And then Sammy sells it like he got stunned with a stun gun. There you go. Anthony figured it out. He became a member. Thank you, Anthony. That was quick. I like it. Thank you, Anthony. Welcome to the team. What'd you think of the Johnny Knoxville Sami Zayn promo tonight?
It kind of felt like last week where it's like, okay, this is fine. You're doing the whole mocking thing. You're not doing a very good job of how they would do it. It's usually like, welcome to the show kind of thing. That's what Johnny Knoxville would do it, but Sammy didn't do it like that. He did his own little thing. Whatever. I mean, you're not quite doing a good job mocking it, but whatever. And again, like, fine, doing the whole fake whatever shock. That's fine. Then Knoxville comes out. It's just I didn't like Knoxville taking away from him when the wrestler is supposed to be the tough guy, but clearly the wrestler is like nothing.
Yeah.
So that kind of looked kind of bad that he just did that. And I don't mind Knoxville getting the whole, like, throw him over the top thing. You're trying to put that gimmick over, but it shouldn't be that he overpowered him or outsmarted him. It should be like, you know, Sammy comes at after him and then, you know, low bridge the rope, something like that. That's how he goes over. It should be something like that. Like, it shouldn't be, you know, he pretty much just took it away from him and then zapped him. Like, he not only outpowered him, he outsmarted him too as well. Like, he just completely dominated him.
He's also tougher than him because, you know, he's willing to take all these shocks and stunts, and Sammy is not. Sammy fakes them, and Johnny Knoxville does them for real. So not only stronger, smarter, he's tougher too. I guess, yeah, he's a heel. But he's supposed to be a wrestler, and Johnny Knoxville's into movies.
Yeah, well, Johnny Knoxville's more real than he is, though. So
apparently. Kid Rock was ringside watching, and they showed Kid Rock there. Nice to see Kid Rock, I guess.
Is he the theme song for the Rumble? Or
I don't think so. Cowboy baby, he should come out with Hangman. I don't know why he's not with Hangman. That would make sense.
I believe Cocky was the Royal Rumble theme a couple years ago.
A Kid Rock song?
Yeah.
Where's Undertaker? Biker Taker? American Badass? You know?
I always prefer that over Roland. I know a lot of people love Roland, but I always thought Kid Rock song was better.
Oh, Roland kills that American Badass song. Are you kidding? Keep rolling, 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 rolling. Get out of here with that. That was the best. Limp Bizkit over Kid Rock all day. All day, every day. Fred Durst beats Kid Rock in everything. Oh, my God. I love Limp Bizkit.
Well, they're lucky Fred Durst was in the audience. Remember last time we saw Fred Durst at a WWE show?
I don't remember.
I think it was a SummerSlam. I want to say it was like 2015 or 16. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh, there's Fred Durst. Double bird right to the camera.
Did he?
And then silence.
You can't control Fred Durst. Maybe it was just one of those days for him, you know?
I guess. Yeah. I think he just, like, whatever. He's just going to do what he wants.
John, did you get that? Did you get that one? It's just
one
of those
days? Yeah,
I got
that one.
You get it?
Yeah.
When you don't want to wake up.
It's the second album, if I'm not mistaken.
Significant Other, brother. It's tremendous.
Yeah.
Oh, classic. Break Stuff, Nookie, Rearranged. That was their big album. That was the one. The first concert I ever went to was Limp Bizkit. It's the best.
Well,
I was like 14. It was amazing.
In terms of money, Chocolate Starfish was the most.
Well, in terms of like being over, Significant Other was, you know. But in terms of badassery, $3 bill, y'all, was, you know, for the real Limp Bizkit fans, we all know. Counterfeit, Faith, Stuck, Pollution. Tremendous Limp Bizkit songs. Why do I know so many Limp Bizkit songs? Because I'm a real fan, brother. Anthony McDonough joining the team. Thank you, Anthony, out in London, England. New member of the universe. I know a lot about Limp Bizkit, John, okay? I was a big fan, brother. That $3 bill, y'all, album was big. Big in high school. Significant Other, too.
Why?
Chocolate Starfish was kind of when they fell off.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong about that. That was their peak in a sense, but yeah. It did kind of go downhill a bit from there after that. But
that's right.
Faith was a good cover song. There's no question about it.
Oh, so good. Watch the Woodstock 99 performance of Faith by Limp Bizkit. It's insane. It's insane. Like,
I vaguely remember this because this is 1999,
shit.
If I'm mistaken, right?
Yes. I mean, it's a riot. It's madness. And Fred Durst is on like a plank of wood because they were ripping down parts of the stage and the set and all sorts of stuff. So they had planks of wood that they just had in the crowd, and they were crowd surfing on them. And Fred Durst is like, bring one of those planks of wood here. So he gets into the crowd, stands on a plank of wood, and there's all these security guys around him saying, like, no, come back, come back. And he's like, fuck it. Wow. And that performance, like, just, and he's like jumping on the plank of wood and there's people under him. It's fucking crazy. It's crazy. That,
yeah,
that show, man, nuts. But that's what Limp Bizkit shows were like. Like, when I was like 14, 15, it was my first show ever. I was on the floor. It was, you know, general admission. There was no seats. It was mosh pits. I was a kid and it was scary. I went to a couple Limp Bizkit shows during that era where I thought I could die. But then when the show was over, I was like, I survived. But yeah, it was scary. It was frightening. And that's,
yeah,
you know,
people get severely injured at Woodstock.
People,
like,
died.
Badly injured.
People died. Yeah. Yeah. At Woodstock, people died. Shit gets out of control. But, like, yeah, I've seen some people, you know, who have some out of control shows, like Limp Bizkit, out of control shows, crazy. Travis Scott, I went to a Travis Scott show. I was on the floor, mosh pits, all sorts of people. And then, you know, the tragedy that happened when a bunch of people died at the Astroworld Festival a few months ago. Shit gets crazy at shows sometimes. Things happen. People get trampled. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. And you got to help out your fellow person. Don't trample people. Be careful, you know? Anyways, that's my PSA for the day. Eric, we're talking about that because Kid Rock was on SmackDown. I've never seen Kid Rock perform. But Limp Bizkit is far better. They had a better theme song for Undertaker than Kid Rock. Eric Bischoff backstage to talk to Adam Pearce, giving him some advice on being a general manager. And then Sonya Deville shows up and she says, oh, I didn't know Eric Bischoff was coming. And Pierce is like, yeah, I've been talking to Eric Bischoff and what you did tonight was over the line with Naomi. And I'm going to suggest that you and Naomi have a match next week. And that was it. That's what Eric Bischoff was there for. Or was it?
I mean, this is his second appearance in WWE not too long, so who knows?
You think he's going to be a GM? What's your feel on that?
That's what I want.
I don't think
he
will,
I don't know
though.
If he wants to be on TV every week.
No. I'd like to see it, though. He's good at that. It's one of the best things he does.
I think he likes his cameos.
Yeah, it's weird. Little cameos tonight. Jeff Jarrett did a cameo backstage with Rick Boogs and Shinsuke Nakamura. Jeff spelled his name, you know, JeffJarrett. And then he asked Boogs.
They're in Nashville.
Yeah, and then he asked Boogs his name, and he said his name. Undertaker set to appear at Royal Rumble? You see that? It's one of our...
I missed
it's on,
it, but
it's on our
I'll
scroll.
Take your word for it.
It was above my head. I just saw that. Got to look into that. Damn, we're breaking news above my head on this show. Not just Iconics lingerie pictures. There's Undertaker news, too. And then Jeff is like, Rick Boogs, spell your name. And then he starts to do it, and the Usos' music interrupted the lame promo. And they just went to the match. I was like, what happened? I don't think they did that on purpose. I think that was a bit of a production glitch.
Probably, yeah. Well, if the Undertaker's at the Rumble, that'll add up to the speculation. Like, oh, do you have Taker win the Rumble? Because it's going to be in Texas, WrestleMania.
Let's
I don't
see.
Think he will, but...
Okay.
You know, Taker's going to be there because Michelle McCool is going to be in the Rumble. I think that's why.
Yes. Pro Wrestling Insider is reporting. See, this is why clickbait works, right? Because you see the headline and you go, what? And then you read the story and you go, oh. Pro Wrestling Insider reporting that all-time great and future Hall of Famer The Undertaker will be in St. Louis for the 2022 Royal Rumble. While anything is possible... It's most likely he's there to attend the pay-per-view to see his wife, Michelle McCool, who will be competing in the Women's Rumble match. Yeah. The headline says, Undertaker to appear at Rumble, and you think, is Taker going to win the Rumble? And then it's like, oh yeah, his wife's going to be there. He's just going to be there to see his wife. Cool.
I mean, if we get a Taker appearance at WrestleMania, but that's just a win in itself. I don't think we need to see him in the main event of WrestleMania.
No. I don't think we need to see him have another match, but hey, it's two nights of Mania.
Yeah,
and
he can do a squash. It's fine.
It's in Texas, too, right?
Right.
Possible. Sheamus beat Rick O'Shea tonight after a brogue kick. Sheamus's boy, what's his name, was there with him.
Rich Holland.
Yeah. His nose is no longer broken, and but he didn't wrestle. Like, I thought maybe he'd do the match against Ricochet because Ricochet broke his nose, but no. Sheamus did the match. Anyways, that happened on SmackDown. And that's SmackDown, John. Next week, you got Sonya versus Naomi and Big E and Kofi versus Corbin and Moss. Eh.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if SmackDown's going to be that great, but it is the go-home show for the Rumble. So I'm not expecting the greatest show. I'm just expecting, you know, a lot of just hype, pretty much.
Yeah, well, it'll be the go-home show for the Rumble. Anthony saying, yes, the Rumble is in St. Louis, but the Undertaker appearing at WrestleMania would be in Texas. WrestleMania is in Texas. The Rumble is in St. Louis. Yes, Anthony, phone-in will be available from the UK. You will be available to phone in from the UK. You'll be able to phone in from anywhere. It won't actually be on the phone. It'll be like a link that we send you, and then you'll be on the show through that link on your phone or tablet or whatever kind of device. Huh? How about that, John? We got that set up. I've been dealing with things and figuring all that out with the production team and how we're going to do that. And I think we have a plan going. So the Rumble will be when we do that. And then maybe we'll do it even more going forward with the members. Members only. Okay? If you want to call in, you want to be on the show, you got to be a member. Sign up over at join.ringsidereport.net or click that join button beneath me if you're watching on a computer. Anthony Plessia and Anthony McDonough. Anthony and Anthony. I love it. Tony. Tony and Tony. Tony, I think.
AJ would be in heaven right now.
I think Anthony's in Montreal, I'm thinking. And Anthony is out in London watching us live. Very late his time. Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate your support here, brother. Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley set for a weigh-in on Raw Monday night. That's the WWE's answer to Francis Ngannou versus Ciryl Gane, which will be taking place tomorrow night in Anaheim, California at UFC 270. It's the heavyweight championship of the world main event. We'll be doing a watch-along here on the Ringside Report Network, 10 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be here. AJ will be here in studio with me. Back in studio.
Nice.
Yeah, real happy to have AJ back. I need to have my boy AJ here with me. Miss that guy. Talk shit about him. Make fun of him. But I love him. And he loves me. Mustafa Ali not granted his release from the WWE. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. It's like, yeah, they should probably give him his release. But I guess if he, yeah, he's talented, you know, you should keep him around. But if he really doesn't want to be there, I don't know.
But it goes to show you, like, Toni Storm wanted her release. She got it. But they didn't really have a use for her. You know, they had her. They used her up pretty much. And it's like, well, if you don't want to be here, we don't need you. But with Ali, they kind of need him.
Did Toni Storm get her release officially? Do we know this? Because I know that she went home and she, like, quit. She said she quit, but did she actually get released from the company?
I felt like that it came out, did not. I thought it did. I couldn't be mistaken, but I thought she was released. Like, she quit, right? And but they accepted her release.
I guess so. I don't know. I don't understand why you would grant her the release, but not Mustafa Ali.
Because they still see value in him.
They didn't see value in Toni Storm?
Well, I think there's a difference for someone just like they're there and then they just quit on you. Where him, it's like I have creative differences. And it's like, well, we can work that out.
All right.
But when someone has that quitting kind of like attitude, it's like, well, not much you can do about that.
I just think if he wants to leave, he's been there a while. They will clearly never do anything with him. Just let him go. You know, like, they're not doing anything with this guy. He's not winning the Rumble. He's probably not in the Rumble. He had that tag team with Mansoor. Retribution, Mansoor, all this stuff that he's done. Like, he's just not relevant in WWE. They don't make him relevant. He's a good wrestler. He can talk. He's got a lot going for him. But WWE just doesn't do anything with him, and they're not going to. You know it. I know it. Mustafa knows it. So maybe you say, all right. How does WWE not know that they have nothing for him? Like, they should know this, too. If I know that WWE has nothing for him, WWE should know, too. Should be obvious to them.
But there's obviously something that they like about him.
Sure.
They haven't given up on him.
Well, when you see him presented on TV, it seems like they have, though, right?
Well, I just think whatever they've done so far just hasn't really worked yet. That's it. I mean, there's difference, though, but I think they see the potential there.
Mm.
The ability is there. There's no question. They just haven't been able to put the right story together.
A lot of ability. Very good in the ring. Very good.
Well, he's actually got good charisma, too, I find.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they just haven't put the right story together for him.
Yep. And I don't think they will. So, I would let him go. Because, honestly, I don't think he's going to be a game changer in the WWE. And if they let him go, I don't think he'll be a game changer in AEW. He just might be a happier man. So, why not just let him do that?
Well, I think maybe one day they will. But they aren't at that point yet.
They got to figure out when they decide to let him be free. All right. Well, you're free, John. This show's over. All right?
All right.
all right. We will be back, you and I together, after Dynamite in Cleveland. Beach break. Of course, nothing says beach break like the end of January in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, you really feel like going to a beach right now, when especially out here it's at minus 35.
Well, I mean, I would like to go to a beach that's like hot and, you know, sunny and warm, somewhere tropical. I'd do that, but I wouldn't go to a beach in Cleveland right now. But that's where AEW is holding their special Dynamite beach break on Wednesday night, and Johnny and I will be on right after that to recap everything that happens at the break. I'll be back, though, a couple of times before that. I'll be back here tomorrow night, like I said, for the UFC 270 watch-along. We'll be watching the pay-per-view with you. You can get ready for that pay-per-view, get our picks and our predictions and parlays and preview for the show and all that stuff on the latest episode of Ringside Report MMA that's available right now on the YouTube channel. I'll be back tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time, with AJ and Freddie to watch UFC 270 along with you, Cyril Gane and Francis Ngannou, former teammates doing battle for the heavyweight championship of the world in the main event, Davison Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno, the trilogy fight for the UFC flyweight title in the co-main event tomorrow night. We'll be watching it right here on the Ringside Report Network. And then Monday, I'll be back for more wrestling talk after Raw, which will be the final Raw before the Royal Rumble. How about that? And then next week, Johnny and I, right here on a Friday night after SmackDown, will do our Royal Rumble preview. And we'll see if Johnny North still believes that Brock Lesnar will win the Rumble. And we'll see if I stick to Seth Rollins retaining or beating Roman, and see who my Rumble winner may be, because I think last week I said it was Big E or Kevin, and now tonight I'm saying Kevin Owens. I'm more convinced of it tonight. Big E didn't look like a Rumble winner tonight. Kevin Owens at least was in the main event against the Usos, teaming with Seth. So I feel like he's more placed to win, but we'll find out what our final predictions are next Friday night as we preview the Royal Rumble. And then, of course, next Saturday night is the Royal Rumble, not on a Sunday, on a Saturday this year. A Saturday Rumble on the 29th of January, coming up next Saturday, not Sunday. And that's that.
Saturday Rumble. All WWE pay-per-views are Saturdays now, aren't they?
I think most of them have changed to Saturdays. Yep. And the next AEW pay-per-view, AEW pay-per-views used to be on Saturdays. Next AEW pay-per-view, Sunday, March 6th, on a Sunday. So they kind of swapped this year. Last year, WWE pay-per-views were on Sundays, AEW on Saturdays. This year, opposite. Why? I don't know.
I do prefer wrestling pay-per-views on a Saturday, to be honest.
I don't, because it just confuses me. Because I'm so used to Sunday that all day on Saturday, I feel like it's Sunday. It's too confusing. Messes with my internal body clock, all right? That's how in tune with wrestling I am. Takes over the whole day. Happy birthday, Lauren. It's Lauren's birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday to you. There you go. And thank you to Doug Hepburn. You're the Super Chat leader of the night. Thank you, Doug. Thank you to Harold as well for dropping Super Chats tonight. Appreciate you guys supporting the network. Shout out to all the members here checking in tonight. Doug Hepburn, Derek John, Harold Schneider, Antoinette, Anthony McDonough, and Anthony Plessia. Thank you for joining the team tonight. Appreciate the new members. Love to see new members joining while we're on here. Always great to see. Love it. And Franco says you have to watch the Habs on Saturday, John. Is there a game tomorrow night?
I think they're playing Colorado, if I'm not mistaken.
No, no. In Colorado?
I don't think... Yeah, because they're not in Montreal, right?
Oh, right. They don't play at all here.
Right, yeah. It has to be Colorado.
Huh. They don't do any home games. At all?
Let's hope for that mid-February works out.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm triple vaxxed. I'm ready to get back to normal. Like, come on, baby. I'll take 10 more vaccines if I could get into a packed arena again. Like, come on. Just give me all the shots so I can go. I'm ready. All right.
You must be happy, though, today besides that. Like, the news of King of the Hill coming back, like, that's gigantic for you, no?
Oh, my God. I'll tell you what, Johnny. I could not be more thrilled about that. When my brother told me that, like, I lost my shit. I was like, what? What do you mean? Like, my brother, I was doing jiu-jitsu with my brother yesterday, right? We were fighting each other, right? And We're rolling mid-roll, or just before we start, like, a round, he goes, oh, yeah, you see King of the Hill's coming back? I go, what? I, like, pause the round clock. I'm like, tell me everything you know about this. What the hell are you talking about? I stopped everything in its tracks. I was like, wait a second. What? King of the Hill's coming back? And it's like, I don't know when, I don't know where, but at some point there will be new episodes of King of the Hill, which, yeah, it's one of my all-time favorite shows. Like, to me, that's amazing. I'm so happy about that. I found out yesterday, and I was thrilled. But, of course, no Luann and no Lucky, because they're both dead. Rest in peace to Brittany Murphy and Tom Petty, the voices of Luann and Lucky. That's right. The great Tom Petty played Lucky on King of the Hill. And, of course, Luann was Brittany Murphy, who passed away tragically. So they won't be on the show. Kind of weird to have King of the Hill without Luann. But, yeah. They'll find a way.
Sad, but, you know.
Well, Hank's still alive. Mike Judge, of course, the voice of Hank. You know, Dale Boomhauer. Bill. Oh, my God. They're going to get Bill back. They're going to get old... Bill Dotrieve, the Bill Dozer. Oh, baby. Oh, I love Bill. I'm a big Bill fan. Bill's great. Oh, shit. Yeah, I'm a big King of the Hill fan, John. I love it so much. I love it. I wonder if Khan Supernusenphone, like, is still on the show. Like, are they allowed to have a white guy do such a... fake Asian accent? Like, is it racist at this point? Is Khan racist? Can they have Khan? Can Khan come back? I don't know, but I love Khan. I hope he's still on the show, because as a character, he's classic. What about Khan Jr.? Like, I have so many questions about the King of the Hill reboot. Is Bobby the same age, or are they older? Are they older now? Like,
older.
Is Hank older? Is Bobby older? Like, is Hank an old man now? What's happening? Is Buck Strickland still alive? Has Hank taken over the propane? Is it Hank Hill propane now? Or is it still Strickland propane? What's happening on King of the Hill? What's happening in Arlen, Texas? I want to know. So I'm very excited to see the new episodes whenever they come out, wherever they will be. Still no home for them. No known date on when it will happen. The only word is it is coming back. They will do more episodes, and that's all I need to know. I'll find them, and I'll wait, right? I don't need to know where they'll be. I don't need to know when. I'm willing to wait. It's been years since they've had new episodes. I can wait a little bit longer. It's the fact that they have new episodes. Thrilling. Thrilling.
Well, it's been 12 years, so I think it's been long enough, to be honest.
Wow. Yep, I'm looking forward to it. Will Octavio be there? Gotta have Octavio. What about Jojack? You know, he's the guy that works at Strickland, calls everybody honey. Hey, honey. Jojack. Love me some Jojack. All right. John Redcorn, of course. Like, does Dale know that Joseph isn't his biological son? Does Dale now know that John Redcorn is the biological father of his son, Joseph?
I mean, didn't he kind of find out before, sort of?
No, he never. Well, I mean, he was kind of told, but he never actually clued in on what he was being told. Like, Dale just, you know, he thought Joseph was an alien. He's like, John, there's something different about Joseph. He's an alien. You know, he didn't think it was John Redcorn's son. He just thought he was an alien because, you know, Dale, he's crazy. You know? It's funny, you know? I'll tell you something about King of the Hill. The world used to be full of Hanks and Boomhauers, and now the world is filled with Dales and Bills. It's a different world than the world we used to be in, John. When King of the Hill started, guys like Hank, guys like Boomhauer, those were guys that you knew. Now these days, all sorts of Bill Dotrieves and Dale Gribbles. Goddamn QAnon is basically Dale Gribble inspired, I think. I think Rusty Shackleford is Q. You know? Dale Gribble. Like, I remember when Dale Gribble, the character, started, he was like this crazy guy with conspiracy theories in his basement. But now it's like, you know, like 50% of the population is like Dale Gribble. Like, he used to be this guy on the fringes, and now it's like you see Dale, and you're like, yeah, it's pretty much most guys at this point. It's crazy. What a world we live in now, you know? Used to be Hanks and Boomhauers. Now it's full of Dales and Bills. And don't even get me started on Cottons. We don't have guys like Cotton Hill anymore, and that's a goddamn problem. He killed 50 men. The Nazis. Oh, no, it wasn't the Nazis. It was the Japanese. I'm not going to say what he called them because it was not nice. Can you say it? I don't know. I mean, he got away with it on Fox on a cartoon. Can you? He said Tojo took my shins, right? Tojo? That's what they called the Japanese or whatever?
That's what he said, if I'm not mistaken. Something like that.
I can say what I want about the Japanese, John. I'll tell you this about the Japanese. They whipped my grandfather, those sons of bitches. So, fuck the Japanese government. I'll tell you that. Apologize to me, Japanese. I heard this story recently. I guess I'd heard it before. I didn't know it. My grandfather was an orphan in Vietnam. And he stole rice, and the Japanese caught him, and they whipped him as punishment. And he still had the scars on his back, like, as an adult man. That's fucked up. This is my grandfather.
Wow.
Japanese whipped him. He's a little half Vietnamese, half French orphan in Vietnam, roaming the streets trying to get some food, stole some rice. Japanese catch this kid. They don't help him. They whip him. Different times, brother. Different times. So, I'm glad Cotton killed Fitty Man. He probably deserved it. It was in WW2. You know, Cotton was on the good side. The Japanese, they were on the bad side. I don't know if you knew that. Word to the wise, my friend. Never forget Pearl Harbor. All right? All right, I'm done. I love the Japanese. You know me. I love the Japanese. I think they're great. Now. But before, maybe they were dicks, a lot of them. You know? Imagine a whipping, you know, as punishment for a crime. Your grandfather ever get whipped by the Japanese, John?
No, I think he killed some. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, there you go. Good. Good for him, then. Props to him. You know? People say I'm not Asian. My grandfather was in Vietnam, stole rice, got whipped by the Japanese. You tell me who's not Asian. I mean, I'm partially Asian, is what I'm saying. It's a pretty Asian story, though, right? Stealing rice in Vietnam, getting whipped by the Japanese. It's all Asians involved. And here I am, a white boy Canadian. It's a couple generations from him. Different life. Fucking life is weird, John. All right. That's it. I'm telling you a personal story about my life, John. Not really my life. Just the history. All right. How we got here? How did we get here? Where are we going? I'll see you tomorrow. Didn't Jericho get whipped? I don't think he did. Not the same, Doug. Not the same.
Cody got whipped.
Yes. Not the same, though. Not the same type of whip. Yeah, I don't know. I heard that story, and it kind of pissed me off. I was like, what the fuck? They whipped him? He was just a kid. That's fucked up, man. For stealing rice? Different times. Yeah, Italy was on Japan's side in World War II. Not the good side, Franco. I don't know if you knew this, but that was the bad guy side. You know who else was on Japan and Italy's side? Germany. And I don't think I need to tell you about Germany in World War II. You know, they had that guy who was leading them. You know the guy. I don't want to say his name, but I'm doing the Norm MacDonald thing, you know. Hitler is who I'm talking about. He was a bad guy. If you were on Hitler's side in World War II, you were on the bad side. Right, John? I think that's pretty fair to say. If you were on Hitler's side, you were on the wrong side of history. And that's it. And that's all. All right? We're going to leave you on that note. Hitler, bad guy. Either way you slice it, both sides of my family, World War II, on the right side. You know? My grandfather getting whipped by the Japanese, although that was probably before World War II, or I don't know. What's the timeline on that? I'm not good at history. Either way, the other side is Jews. So they're not pro-Hitler. You know, the Jews mostly were anti-Hitler, from what I understand. That's my general feeling on World War II. The Jews did not like Hitler, and Hitler certainly did not like the Jews. And, yeah, had a lot of family in Eastern Europe. Jewish family in the history. So either way you slice it, the history of my family, all anti-Hitler, which I think is pretty good. John, anti-Hitler? Or you got some pro-Hitler people in your history? You think?
No, I think it was all anti pretty much.
There you go. All right. Well, there you go. That's a seal of approval. You can't cancel us. Johnny North and I are firmly and forever historically anti-Hitler. I'll see you tomorrow for UFC 270.